Good morning, everyone. Welcome here this morning. It's been a joy to be here this morning. I'd like to continue on this morning with this series on courtship, meditations on courtship. I've titled this morning, A Holy Courtship. And if you were listening to what Brother Joseph shared, I want to share this. At the end of my message, I wanted to share a secret of a godly courtship, one of the secrets, and he touched on it this morning. So if you listen carefully, you already heard some of where I'm going this morning. So that was a blessing to hear that, Brother Joseph, those things. let me just write this on the board. I've just titled this morning, A Holy Courtship. And it's good to think of courtship in that, with that word holy in it, right? And just for the, I realize there's some here that haven't been here before and sharing some of these things. So on what I've shared already. So I want to bring you up to date a little bit just so I don't, I'm going to do some review here to bring everybody on board here and refresh our memories here. I wanted to say something else. There we got what it was there. But oh, that one, I don't remember what it was now. Just a reminder for why I'm talking about this thing of courtship and relationships. I just want to share again the reason why I'm sharing these messages on this. It's just to bring it up in our minds again. And to raise the vision up in our hearts for you young people and for us as parents so that we can, to be a platform for you parents to be able to open it up in your homes and to talk about and a lot of the details that I've shared and will share again here today, they vary from situation to situation. But I'm hoping in what I'm sharing, it's giving you a platform to communicate together as families and us as a brotherhood as well here. In preparing for this, I pulled out some of the letters that we wrote back and forth during our courtship. I was trying to find some things that we wrote about just for some suggestions, and it got me all excited again. I like courtship, and I think God loves romance, and it's a beautiful thing done God's way. Something else I wanted to mention, too, I haven't seen any young men taking many notes. But you young men ought to be taking notes, if I can say that. Maybe you're doing it mentally, and you're better at keeping it and remember it than I am. But I hope you're taking some mental notes if you're not writing it down on some of these things. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer before I go into the message here. Father, our hearts are turned towards you here this morning. We realize that you are the Creator, the Almighty. There's none like you, Lord. Do guide our steps here this morning. Guide my tongue, Lord, and the things to share and how to share it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that nothing would be shared that would not be under the anointing of your Holy Spirit and produce godliness and righteousness and glory to your name here this morning. Direct our hearts, Father. Do lead us and guide us as a congregation. Lead us, Lord, as we the young people as they and families as they talk about this and discern your will and try to find guidance, Lord, and pour your grace upon each one. We know you care for us, Father, and we know that you have our best in mind, and you desire that we be completely fulfilled in you. We pray that that would happen, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Can anyone tell me who was here the last time I preached on this subject? What were the four principles that I shared? Just off the top of your head, see if we can name all four of them here. Principles, commandments that should affect our relationships, especially pursuing courtship and marriage. Yes, Nehemiah. Delight yourself in the Lord. And that's the biggest, most important one, I think. Delight yourself in the Lord. That should have an effect on our relationship. The other ones. Yes, Anna. Flee fornication. That one will have an effect on our relationships and how we handle and conduct ourselves. Another one. Staying in divine order. Thank you, Nehemiah. That's a good one. Those verses about honoring father and mother and obeying father and mother and the order that God has set up will have an effect on our relationships. One more. What was the other one? Yeah. Defraud your brother in no matter. Thank you. Those were the four, and there's other commandments in scriptures that will affect our relationships as well, but we looked at those four. Delight yourself in the Lord, flee fornication, and to stay in the divine order and defraud your brother in no matter. I don't usually do this, but I did listen. I listened to what I shared on the recording last time, just because I wanted to hear something I said to make sure I said it right. And not all of it got recorded because I got too long-winded. So sorry, y'all. So I'm going to mention a few things that I mentioned there, just so if somebody gets the recording, they'll have that on there. But just briefly here. So if somebody gets the last recording, it's not complete because it. I got too long-winded and it ran out of space. But just then, in review here, I mentioned the reality that for most of you singles, your spouse is probably alive somewhere on this globe today. And towards the ending there, I asked a list of questions that could basically be summed up with, since your future spouse is probably most likely alive somewhere, would they be pleased with the way you're conducting your relationships with the opposite gender? Would they, if they watched how you related and how you talked and your emotions, would they be pleased? Would they be blessed with how you're conducting yourself? We saw the vision of entering into marriage, having kept ourselves rightly related to God, and having allowed those winds of passion and emotion and temptations that we face as young people and to turn us into ripe, wholesome fruit to be able to give to our spouse one day. Where we can just have that wholesomeness to be able to give, complete to our spouse one day. And we ended with a word to those who have failed. And I think that would probably include almost all of us here, unless there might be somebody that's perfect. I don't know. But a word to those who have failed. But how that we can, through repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiveness, be again made new again and become that one man woman or that one woman man, you know, keeping ourselves only for our spouse. And that God can bring that healing and wholesomeness again through the grace of Christ and through the love and grace of Christ, there can again flow that relationship that will leave the world in awe of our Savior. And I've seen some of that happen. I mean, couples that in their youth have been so messed up, when they turn to the Lord, God did a miracle. And they're experiencing relationship today that it's only because of the grace of God. And that's simply the gospel, isn't it? Isn't that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? But I wanted to put that out there because I know there's people that have failed and we fail, but there's hope. And we can begin anew. God can make us a new creature and we can go on from today and become that wholesome fruit to prepare ourselves for our spouse one day. I also wanted to mention with what I shared and with what I'm going to share again today, please don't get caught up in the little details. I realize there's that danger of getting caught up in the little details and to the point where actually we miss the main point. And it can get discouraging or we can actually get derailed a little bit in trying to seek God's will in this. So a lot of what I'm going to share today especially is going to be suggestions and thoughts, and it's not necessarily all going to be the law and word of God. So take that as that. We're going to look at the word of God, but take a lot of what I'm going to share as suggestions and stimulate us onto godliness. But But please don't get caught up in the details rather get caught up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll work out the details in your life. Does that make sense? The principles that we looked at, those four things are very important. How they work out practically in your life and in your circumstances will vary depending on where God has you. But keep those things in your life. Delight in the Lord and flee fornication and don't defraud your brother and stay in the divine order. Keep those things up there. But some of the other practical details may vary. So don't get caught up too much in that. Otherwise, it can get real uncomfortable. Amen. A holy courtship. I have here just a few questions. The first one I want to look at is, who can I marry? I mean, that's a big question in everybody's mind. You know, when you're a young person and you're unmarried, and who can I marry? Who should I marry? So I'm going to look at that question. I'm going to look at what do we do in a courtship, and then some various different odds and ends about courtship that I didn't know where to fit in that I was going to mention, and then look at the secret. I want to give you the secret at the end to a good godly courtship that will bless you. So again, I'm sharing this as a young man for you that haven't been here. None of my children are married. I'm young, so I'm sharing this from the perspective of a young person who's walked through these things, but from that angle, not from an experienced older man. So, okay, who can I marry? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm sure most of you that are getting in your upper teens and early 20s, you've asked yourself this question. So who can I marry? Who will I marry? And God gives us direction on some of this. And I just want to point out a few verses to help us for you to consider. And again, there's a lot of practical things we could look at in some of these things, but take the principle, take the heart of God and follow the Lord in these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39, and there's this entire chapter is talking about marriage and some of this difficult time they were going through. But I'll just bring this verse out. Who can I marry? He says in verse 39, says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. And I think that sums up fairly clearly the heart of God and who you can marry. As believers here this morning, he says you can, if her husband dies, she's free to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. And that phrase, only in the Lord, is packed full of meaning. And so if you're thinking down the road and you're thinking about marriage, think about that phrase. What does that mean to marry someone? I can marry anybody I want to, only in the Lord. And that could mean a lot of different things there. But a few things I think that it means is if you're considering marriage, look for someone who's settled in their walk with the Lord. Someone who is in the Lord themselves. Who's consecrated to God like we talked about. Someone who's walking in godliness and righteousness, following the pattern and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're in the Lord. Only marry in the Lord. Someone who's a believer. And someone who's in right relationship with their parents, with church authorities, who's settled in their walk with God. Look for someone like that. That's part of being married in the Lord, right? When something is in the Lord, it means it's done under His guidance, under His direction, under His blessing. And we know God doesn't bless something that's impure, that's unrighteous. And so if you want to marry, find someone who's in that place, that's walking, and conduct yourself in that way as well, so that when your marriage is done in the Lord. And this is just, again, here's some practical things that I think people, young people should have in order before a courtship ever begins. And y'all can correct me on some of these practical things later. Again, some of these things I'm going to share, there might be exceptions. But as a general rule, I think a young person should have clearly been born again, clearly been baptized, and be clearly committed to a group of believers somewhere. That some of those things should just be settled in their hearts before a courtship ever begins. There should be a clear testimony of God in their lives. And I've shared that because I've seen shipwreck where that hasn't been. Where somebody has claimed to be a Christian, they've claimed to be walking with God, but they're not settled with where they're at. Especially the young men, you know, they're not really plugged into a local church. They're just, okay, they're walking with God, but they just can't really... It's not a time to start a courtship with someone like that. They need to get things in order in their life first and get settled in where they're headed spiritually before a courtship ever begins. Only in the Lord. I don't want to take that too far, but I think that includes some of that, right? Would you older ones say amen to that, or is that adding to Scripture in that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, and this will also affect who you marry. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. And he's not talking here necessarily about courtship or marriage here, but he's talking about a principle here that will affect who you should marry. In chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I realize he's talking, this affects a lot of areas of our life, but it's going to affect who you marry as a young person. Don't be unequally yoked together with someone who's not following the Lord Jesus Christ. In marriage, you're yoked together in a close way like a few relationships are, probably like no relationships on earth are. You're yoked together. You've got to pull together in how you raise your family and how you live and the decision. You're yoked together. And he says, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're looking for a marriage partner, find someone who's a believer, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the same values and convictions that you do. If you have a desire for the exaltation of Christ in your marriage, but yet you find yourself pulled romantically to someone who's not a believer, you're not very likely going to have a marriage that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Most likely, if you follow that path, you're going to end up with a Solomon kind of situation with your heart being drawn away from the Lord. You will desire to move in one direction and he'll pull the other. You know, it's just how it goes. You have different value systems as believers. We just don't have the same value systems as unbelievers. An unbeliever just wants to live after the flesh. A believer wants to walk after the Lord. And there'll just be constant conflict there. It's an unequal yoke for us as believers to marry unbelievers. And maybe that sounds simple. I think we believe that here, but it's reality. And the fact is that there's some people get motivated to become parts of churches or whatever, so they can get married and find a good husband and find a good wife, and it's, they may not really be believers. You want to make sure you marry someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ out of a pure heart. Now, if you're here this morning already, and you're married already, and your spouse is an unbeliever, the Scripture also gives us clear direction for that. Don't leave your unbelieving spouse. but rather for the sanctification of the home, you're to stick with them and follow the Lord, and just maybe they'll get converted. So it doesn't say if you're married into an unconverted spouse, it is an unequal yoke, but God says to stay in that yoke and perhaps they'll get converted. But I think very clearly to willfully enter into such a relationship with willful knowledge that your spouse is unconverted is against the will and word of God. Can we say that very clearly? To be unequally yoked together with unbelievers is wrong. And to willfully enter into a married relationship as a believer to an unbeliever is not the will of God. So who can I marry? I think that we've looked at a couple of verses. It says, to whomsoever you will, only in the Lord. There's a lot of other things that are included in that statement. I don't have time to get into here this morning. But only in the Lord means you're going to follow the Lord's direction in how you and who you marry. So it's not just, well, look at all the boys out there, all the girls out there. I can pick any one of them I want as long as they say they're a Christian. It's not quite that easy. But you can marry whosoever you want to as long as it's in the Lord. But if you're in the Lord, God will give you clear direction than just throwing out a fishing line hoping you catch one. Amen. A holy courtship begins with marrying someone who's in the Lord, or pursuing a relationship with someone who's in the Lord. So how do I start a courtship? And again, I'm not going to be all conclusive here. I think for those of y'all know Brother Paul Hirschberg, he did a much better job of being detailed. Y'all listen to some of his teachings and Denny Kennison's teachings on this. But again, I want to just bring this up so y'all can talk about it at home. But how do we start a courtship? That's always a big question for young people. How do we get started? What do we do? First thing, and I have a list here, but it's not necessarily, there's not a 1-2-3 step on how to start a courtship. I wish there was, but each home, each situation varies, and you've got to walk with the Lord. There's some basic things we can look at. But I think one of the things, the first thing to do is to pray. And to pray and to seek the face of God and stay vitally connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put that one first and foremost. Seek God and discern the will of God and when to start a courtship, just like you would discern anything else in your life. You walk with God and you allow God to direct you through your authorities and through through the Word of God, and He gives you direction in life. But pray. And for you young men, if you have feelings toward a certain, or even I say these young men, this is young men and young ladies' light. If you have feelings towards the opposite gender, and you feel your heart being drawn, and you think perhaps God is directing you into marriage, the first thing I would suggest is talk to your parents about it. And hopefully you have that open relationship already, but talk to your parents about it. They'll give you some wise counsel on how to move forward, because they know you better than anyone else probably does. So the first thing, if you have those desires in your heart, talk to your parents and keep that open. Young men, begin to pursue the will of God. For us in our culture here, and I think it's a good thing that young men take the leadership in these relationships. But young men, you have to begin to pursue the will of God. You don't just all of a sudden wake up one day and, there she is. Let's just start a courtship. It doesn't quite happen that way. You've got to seek the will of God and take some steps to make it happen. We don't do what the world does and just try to out there always trying to look for a wife. There's ways and godly ways to make it, to pursue the will of God. But you have to begin to pursue the will of God. And I was also say, I realize most of you young men here are very young yet. There's also the element of just waiting and resting on the Lord. And I don't have time to get into all that, but don't just begin to pursue marriage just to try to find fulfillment. But as the Lord begins to direct you towards marriage through your parents, then begin to pursue the will of God. Prior to some of those things, just keep your heart at rest at all times. Begin to pursue the will of God, but be willing to have the doors closed. And keep yourself at a place emotionally that you can simply take a door closing as God directing you. Amen? Keep yourself emotionally at a place where if a door closes, you can just say, thank you, God. You made that very clear. And there's stories abound in this here. I'll mention a few of them here. There's doors close sometimes when young men begin pursuing relationships. One of my wife's brothers, can I say that here? I guess one of my wife's brothers one time, he felt, and my wife was sharing with this last night, he came to the place where he wanted to get married. And he said it looked like a chessboard in front of him, and it was as if God just wiped the whole chessboard clean and there was only one left standing there. He was convinced she was the one. So he prayed about it. He went, did all the right things and talked to the parents, and he went to, went to her parents about it, and her father said, well, she's actually beginning in a courtship with someone else. The door shut. And at that moment, he could have made a decision that, well, you must be wrong. I know God told me this. Or he could simply say, well, thank you, God. You made that very clear. And you directed me. There was a... it gets me a little jittery when I know some of this stuff is being recorded, because I don't want the wrong people to get what I'm saying. They might put two and two together here. But there was a young man that asked my wife, or came to my wife's father to court her before I came into the picture. He went through the processes of talking to his father and talking to her father. And my father-in-law just wasn't comfortable with where he was at spiritually. He didn't feel like it was the right time. I think he even told him just to, he don't think that's at all the will of God. Just basically bug off, But he came back again and he refused. And he wrote a letter right there. He wrote a letter to my father-in-law saying how bad he is, how he's not discerning the will of God in this situation, how he needs to, get right with God. And really, this is God's doing and he's just not seeing it. That's what I'm trying to say. When God closes a door, take it as the will of God, the will of God directing you. That's how God directs sometimes. He closes a door. And so as a young man, as you begin to pursue the will of God, allow God to direct you in those things. We got an uncomfortable situation one time where there was two young men came. They were trying to keep accountable. This has been a couple years ago, so there's nobody here, so it, y'all won't be uncomfortable. But they came to me and my wife and wanted to talk with us, and we about the one young man began to share his heart and saying he's really, really feeling like God's directing him towards this young lady. And they were both godly people, both godly young people, love the Lord. And he just really feel, but he wanted some of our input and our oversight and our accountability to help, guide him through how he's supposed to handle this. And we gave him some direction there practically. And it wasn't about a week later, I think, another young man came and he had the same feelings towards the same young lady. Both young men, and it gets a little uncomfortable. What do you say? But we gave him some direction and some counsel, and they, but do you see what I'm getting at? There's no way, we don't practice, what do you call that? Where a woman has more than one husband. We don't practice that here. No, not polygamy. It's the other, polygamy is one man having more than one wife. But there is the thing of a wife having more than one husband. There's only like one or two cultures in the world that do that. But anyhow, there's a name for that. We don't do that here. That's not the will of God. So somewhere, God was going to have to guide these young men. They couldn't both marry the young lady. Well, that's been a couple years ago. And both of those young men have now married, and none of them married the girl. Neither one of them married that young lady, but they both have solid, godly homes, and they're walking on with the Lord, and they're blessed. I just share all those things to say, let God direct you. And when there's a closed door, thank the Lord for it. Perhaps the young lady you've been praying for years gets married to someone else. Just say, thank you, Lord. You made that very clear that she's not the one for me. Or the other way around. How do I start? Allow your authorities to direct you in the details. And again, each situation is different, and when I mention your authorities, I think primarily your parents and also your church leaders. They would know a little bit what's going on perhaps in the different situations, but allow them to direct you in the details of how to get started. And just maintain that open communication with your authorities there. That can be a real blessing. Proverbs 11:14 says, "In the multitude of counselors there is safety." And if you begin to pursue, feel like God is directing you into starting a courtship, gather some counselors around you. Not young men. I mentioned that last time. Don't talk to your friends about it. But talk to some older men and women that have walked with God, that have experienced marriage, that know kind of what some things to look at, and gather some counselors around you. There's safety in that. And sometimes maybe the counsel even conflicts a bit, but there's still safety in a multitude of counselors. You know, if you feel a God directing you to a certain young lady, seek counsel. Talk to your church leaders. Talk to her church leaders if she's from another place. Find out what you can about her before she knows anything. Don't let her know anything if at all possible. But just find out about her. Find out if she's walking with God. And hear their hearts on it. And I would say not just one person. You know, don't just find one older man. I think it's wisdom to find one older man that can maybe give you oversight if you don't have a father in the home or if your father's not stepping up to the plate there. But in the multitude of counselors is safety, it says. And so one man can give you one opinion, but another man may give you another one. So find a multitude of counselors and just seek the will of God and for direction in there. Allow your authorities to direct you in those things. Each situation is different. There was one... couple that I know that I forget all the details now. It's been a couple of years since we've related to them, but he, if I understand right, she was working on the mission field in one place, and he was working on the mission field in another place. They met at a conference, I think it was. 3 weeks later, they flew in together, had their wedding, and went back to their locations for a couple of days to finish off what they were doing, and then went on with their married life. Each situation is different. You know, there's not a cut and dry way of doing everything. That is a little extreme. I think three weeks is pretty fast. But there are those situations that happen sometimes, and God's clear direction there. But seek counsel as you proceed, and God will give you direction and the little details of how to work out, how to start. Another thing is for you young men, and I mentioned a little bit of this already, but do all you can, especially young men, to protect the emotions and the feelings of the girl during this process. You talk to her father prior to saying anything to her about your interest in her. Let me say that again. You talk to her father prior to saying anything to her about your interest in her. And that will spare her so much emotional. I realize there's exception to that again, but that it can be a blessing. You want to protect her emotions and feelings. And her father is responsible for her well-being. And for you to kind of creep in there and share with her that, you know, I really do have some feelings toward you. What do you think? That can put her in a place where she's uncomfortable. And when it comes time for her to give you an answer, she feels under pressure, and her emotions can really be caught up in it, and she knows how you feel about it. But if you can talk to her father first, it takes away that pressure. Then she can tell her father just exactly how she feels with no pressure. So protect her emotions as young men. Protect the young lady's emotions by not allowing them, if you're proceeding down this road of courtship, to know your feelings, if at all possible. I realize sometimes you can't, depending on the situation there. My situation, I had to do all I could to help keep her from finding out. I actually couldn't go to her father because I knew as soon as he knew, she would know. So I had to all everything else around here. And then the last thing went to her father, and then it was out, you know. So it was, right. Anyhow, so, but her father's responsible for the well-being of her emotions and her feelings. And for you to get in there and creep in, and this is happening a lot these days, especially with text messaging and things like that, where the young man begins to build a relationship with the girl, and the father doesn't know a thing about it. And to all of a sudden, it kind of comes out, and that's wrong. Can I say it that strongly? That's wrong. Her father's responsible for her, and for you to creep in and woo her heart away without her father's consent is theft, right? I mean, it's wrong. So I realize I have just a lot of rambling things here, not clear points you can write down, so I apologize for that. But another thing that is give her, as a young man, if you begin to pursue this thing, give the young lady as much time as she needs to give you an answer. Don't try to move too fast. You may have been thinking about this courtship thing for years, about praying about her and seeking the will of the Lord, but it may be a brand new thought for her. So give her as much time as she needs, and don't apply pressure. Just if you begin to pursue a courtship, don't move too fast. I have too many stories in our courtship, I guess. But I tried to do that, I guess, in our courtship. I think it's a good idea. But I wrote a letter to my wife that she was overseas at the time when I started our courtship, and so I wrote her a letter. And in that letter, I told her, and in the letter, I said, please take as much time as you need to consider and pray about these things. I wanted her to feel at rest and not feel pressured. We ended up having a phone call that evening and talking with each other. It was clear in her heart long before I asked. So she didn't need much time. But other people may need 6 months, may need a year to think about it. So give them as much time as they need so that they're not pressured into it. So those are just some ideas of how to get started on a courtship. Pray. Seek your authorities. Keep open to communication. Let them direct you in the little details. Talk to her father. I would say talk to your father first of all. I mean, that's priority, your father and mother. But then talk to her father when the things are clear with your parents. And prior to her knowing anything about it. And talk to church leaders and get counsel in it. Other men, older men in the church that can give you some wisdom on it. Men and women. And the same for you ladies. Seek counsel if a young man comes knocking. a holy courtship. I know that some of these things may not sound that spiritual, but they're just real practical things. So what do we do in a courtship? You know, so everything gets clear. Your parents are clear with it. And we're going to set this up where everybody can see it. Your parents are clear with it. Your church leaders are blessing it, and you're clear to move ahead in a courtship. So what do you do in a courtship? Nature has its ways of doing courtship. You know, if you ever watch pigeons, you know, they do this little dance, or turkeys. You young men here know what turkeys are. You know, they fan out their big fan and try to strut around and they're courting these birds. You know, Do we put on our best clothes and go out and buy the best pickup we can get and put on the best cologne? What do you do in a courtship? How do you begin? Y'all have all seen pictures probably of courting couples. You know, they start off, and on their first courtship, you know, they're kind of they're awful uncomfortable. You know, they're not sure what to do, and how do you start? So you know, what do you do in a courtship? I want to give some thoughts on that. You've seen the opposite as well with people that are on each other's laps in courtship. Neither one. That one's always not good to be on each other's laps. But there is uncomfortableness in the beginning. You know, you've never sat beside this girl before quite, and as a young man, and you know that she now knows that you're interested in her, and she knows, and you're, what do you do? You know, how do you, you know, what do you say? You young men, take the responsibility to give direction on how the courtship should function. Take responsibility at the very beginning and when you start a courtship to set some direction. I'm not necessarily, when I say that, young men, be responsible to make sure direction is set. You may not necessarily set all the directions. Hopefully your parents will be involved, and that's a blessing when there's both parents are involved and y'all can sit together and talk about things and they can help you set direction. But you as a young man, make sure direction is set. You are responsible in the courtship to make sure things are clearly set. Ideally, parents should help set some perimeters and vision, but young men need to take the lead to make sure it happens. Whether that's talking to your parents pulling in, what do y'all want? What do you think we should do? What's your heart? You're going to have to make sure that happens. But first of all, I would say the most important thing in a courtship, what do you do in a courtship? And I would say number one thing is to lay a spiritual foundation in your courtship. And how do you do that? I think all of us would want that as God, as Christ followers. The most important thing is lay a spiritual foundation. If you're both consecrated to the Lord in your singlehood, if you're both not doing that which you want, but you're pleasing the Lord, it won't be that difficult to lay a spiritual foundation. But it will take some effort, right? I think anybody who's married knows it takes effort to have a spiritual foundation. But I'll just throw some practical things out here again for you to think about. One thing, we found a real blessing in our courtship because we weren't together the first couple of months. It was all email. But one of the first things to do, I think, that you help, makes it easy to start on a spiritual foundation, is share your testimonies with each other. Share how you got born again and who the Lord Jesus Christ is to you and what he means to you and how you're walking with God today. And if you, on your first time together, share those things, that's an easy way to start on a spiritual foundation. That's your basis then for communication. You realize there's nobody in the courtship here, so hope you're taking notes or you remember these things. But other things, some other practical things is have devotional time together to start off a date every time. Every time you have a date time or a together time where you two are together, start it off with a devotional time. Again, young men, you're going to have to know the Bible. You're going to have to be willing to step up to the plate and lead out in that, in having some devotional time. That's a blessing. When you're courting, to have a devotional time together, to sing together. That may sound strange, but yeah, in your courtship, pull out Johnny Martin's songbook and start singing a bit and do a little Bible reading together. Every time you're together, almost, when you're together for a formal time together, courtship, have some time of seeking God and just turning your heart to the Lord and praying together. Lay that spiritual foundation. And if you put that first, it's easier for it to continue on through your relationship. So my wife had some sweet times together a bit when we were in our courtship with prayer times and seeking God. And just, you're not, at the beginning, you don't share all the deep things in your heart necessarily, but just turning your hearts to the Lord. You're both believers. You both love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you turn your hearts to the Lord in worship and adoration and exalt him. That'll help build that spiritual foundation. And as you go along in your courtship, share with each other what God is working in your heart. I mean, just brother and sister kind of things that we should be doing in the church here. But you're together more often in a courtship relationship. So share with each other what God is doing in your heart. How maybe he's dealing with you in a certain area of your life, how you got upset at your siblings, and just God showed you a verse and how you're overcoming in that. But share. Keep that open relationship with each other. It's really not that hard to build on a spiritual foundation if that's what you've been doing all your life as a single person already. It just kind of comes naturally. But it will take some effort. And get a vision for that. another thing, what do you do in courtship? Is lay a foundation of communication in courtship. Communicate. And then communicate and communicate and communicate. Lay that foundation strongly in your courtship. Communicate with each other. Communicate with each other's parents, families. Communicate with those that are watching over the courtship. Don't just talk, but communicate. Do you know the difference? It's not just jabber, 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 but you're actually trying to make sure there's understanding happening. You're communicating. It's flowing back and forth. At the beginning, you'll need to talk about how to communicate and when. You know, are we going to get together, you know, Sunday afternoons at your house, at my house, and how is that going to happen? You're going to have to talk about those things and do. You know, are we going to call each other on the phone? Are we going to text? How are we going to communicate, and when will we communicate, and how will we communicate? You're going to have to do all that at the beginning. Just talk and talk about those things. You know how and where your date times will be. They're going to be with the family in a family setting, and some of this is going to be you have to communicate with your parents and your family and hear their hearts on and her family. And are we going to be alone in the living room? Are we going to sit on the porch for our, you know, our times, discussion times? Are we going to be around the table? And we even talked about things at the beginning. I remember I looked over some of our letters. I kind of forgot about what all we did. But you have to communicate about everything, whether we're going to shake hands or not when we meet. Whether I'm going to sleep at her house, she was from out of state, so I went to visit. If I'm going to sleep at her house or I'm going to sleep at a friend's house. Communicate, talk, lay that foundation in your courtship. Don't just kind of take, well, if there's any trouble, she'll say something or that somebody. No, talk about it. Communicate, lay that foundation clearly in your courtship. Ask each other questions concerning different issues and convictions. Deep questions. That's what courtship is for. Now, don't just take for granted that his or her convictions are the same as the church that she's a part of. You want to know where she or he stands himself, what her convictions are. So discuss things. Questions like, and these are some that we talked about. This is a suggestion again. But we were in a long distance courtship. It was made a little easier because we emailed all of our communication for a while, but we would ask. Had a list of questions I made, all things we wanted to talk about. I asked her what she would like to talk about, and I had made a list. And we took some of those things on that list then, and we would communicate via email, and we'd both write the email the same time and send them so that we weren't influenced by each other's emails. We could really see the heart of the other one. So that's just a suggestion. You know, there's other ways you can do that. But questions like, you know, what kind of books and music do you feed on? Talk about that. Communicate about that in courtship. What are the guiding principles that affect what you feed on? What are things in your life that are guiding principles that when you go to choose music? What is it in your life? Talk about those things. What is your view of technology and its effect on marriage and families? You know, talk about that. Questions like, how would you describe the ideal husband or wife? Or, what are some of your dreams and expectations in marriage? Communicate. Learn to know each other's heart. Ask each other those questions. How do you feel about pets in the house? Sometimes it gets real practical. Ask questions. Communicate. How do you feel about that? What is your view on spanking? What about birth control? What is your vision for old age? What do you think about when you get 80 years old? How would you like to be living your life? What's your vision for old age? What are your thoughts on finances? How much should a family have in the bank? What are visions and goals you have for your finances? Communicate. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the list goes on and on and on. You can talk about just about anything, but it's good to communicate and lay that foundation very strongly in your courtship to where you can talk about anything. And obviously, I follow your parents' direction on this. As you move towards marriage, there's things that you probably shouldn't discuss at the beginning of marriage, but at the beginning of courtship, but towards the end of courtship would be more of an appropriate time. Some of the more intimate things of marriage and things. But things that are issues in marriage that we face in our life, in our generation today, talk about them. Ask each other what your thoughts are. Courtship is not a time to hammer out theological differences. It's not a time to, how do you feel about eschatology and Or Calvinism, and you know, you really think that you believe in rapture, and it's not a time to hammer out theological differences and try to persuade each other. It's a time for discovering what those differences may be, and if those differences are, and how strong those differences are. It's a time to communicate and discuss and hear where each other are at on issues. There's no way you can cover everything before you get married. I think all of us who are married have found that out. There's things we come up with. We never talked about that in our courtship. You know, we really probably should have, but we never even thought about it. There's no way you can cover everything. But lay the foundation of communication. And if that foundation is there, you'll never regret that. Because you come up into something in marriage and you can communicate about it. You can talk about it. What do you do in a courtship? You lay a spiritual foundation. You lay a foundation of communication. And then you also have a vision. Have a vision in your courtship. Y'all have heard us quote this here before, but about that quote from Brother Denny, where he said, vision without action is a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. But vision with action is beautiful reality. I love that quote. It's beautiful. Have a vision. You know, if you're planning to start a home, you're courting, moving towards marriage, you're, in a sense, you're starting a church. I mean, not a church, but you're starting a relationship that's going to affect the world. And as such, it's going to require order and vision and commitment if it's going to continue for generations to come. What you see, what your vision is so important as you head into courtship. And so have a vision of what you desire in courtship and in marriage before you ever begin. So what do you see? You know, do you see a married relationship where both are consecrated to God and His purposes, having kept themselves and continue to keep themselves for each other in a passionate, holy, romantic relationship? Or do you simply see a bedroom partner or a partner to live life with? What do you see? What is your vision? Develop a godly vision. How do you want to enter marriage? With joy and purity, with absolutely no regrets? Or with emotional scars, having been feeling robbed of your purity or even of your virginity and finding it challenging for the rest of your married life to trust your marriage partner? How do you want to enter marriage? Have a vision of what kind of home you want. Go to Acts chapter 18. If you don't see anything, if you really don't have a vision for it, you're in for a flop trying to start a courtship. Can I say that from the very beginning? If you don't know where you're going, don't have a desire there, and again, you're going to have to communicate that with each other. Because maybe her vision might have been a little different than yours. But you're going to have to communicate and talk about these things. But you're going to have a vision. Have a vision of what kind of home you want. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 through 3, we find Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Here we have Aquila and Priscilla. I'm going to have to skip over these here. I won't look at the scriptures. But we find Aquila and Priscilla. Here's a husband and wife. So I'm saying, have a vision of the home you want. Here's Aquila and Priscilla, their husband and wife. They're working together. Paul comes and they allow Paul to live and to work with them. They had a vision for that. It doesn't just happen. You don't just let people move into your house without a vision for that. In Acts 18, they both, not just Apollos and Priscilla, why is that old Paul here doing here? We find them both taking in Aquila and Priscilla. In Acts 18, they both take in Apollos and instruct him in the faith as husband and wife. In Romans 16, Paul says they had a church in their house and that they laid down their own necks for him and for the church. A couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They had and develop a vision like that. I mean, what purpose, what a purpose-filled marriage they had. I mean, Paul coming in, Apollos comes, and he's preaching this, and they take him aside, and they instruct him in the God, together as husband and wife. And then find out later on they had a church in their house, and they continually laid down their necks for the gospel, together as husband and wife. Isn't that beautiful? Have a vision, develop it. The household of Stephanas is another one. In 1 Corinthians 16 there, it says they, the household of Stephanas, it says they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's a purpose-filled home, a purpose-filled marriage. Amen? So get a vision for the kind of home you want, and in your courtship, begin to prepare for it. It's not just going to happen. Have that vision and begin to prepare for it. You'll talk about things, communicate about things, about how you want your home to be. And I think by now you're realizing that it's not quite as easy as just sitting in the love seat and just kind of making gushy eyes at each other and just just love things going back and forth and it's just and you live happily ever after. It's not quite that easy, but it's worth it. Amen? It's worth it to lay a spiritual foundation. It's worth it to lay that foundation of communication. It's worth it to have a vision. It's not going to be all easy, but it's worth it to lay those things in your courtship way prior to marriage. There's just a various quotes that I wasn't sure where to put in here in regards to courtship. But one thing, here's a quote. This is something I wrote down years ago. It says, remember, in your courtship, remember the boy or girl that you are courting is not your spouse. Remember that. Even in your courtship relationship, God may lead you to not get married. That happens. God may lead you to not get married and therefore terminate the relationship. So live in your courtship in such a way that were that to happen, it could happen without any deep regrets or deep emotional scars that just tear you for the rest of your life. It ends, it will still have been a successful courtship if it ends without anyone being defrauded and both being able to move forward in their lives with the blessing of God in their lives. It will still have been a successful courtship, even if it didn't end in marriage, if no one has been defrauded. A godly courtship does not automatically guarantee a godly marriage. Rather, godly people have godly courtships and godly marriages. This is one that I got from Brother Jonah Gunther up there in Muddy Pond. He told me one time, he said, lust can't wait to get. It's help you decide between whether you really love her or him or not. Lust can't wait to get. Love can't wait. Love can wait to give. All the principles that are in place in a godly courtship will already be in place in a believer's life before he ever starts a courtship. They'll have to be in place. And the other one, the most important thing to bring into a courtship relationship is a guilt-free conscience. Where your heaven is open above both of you, and your hearts are free, and that flowing of communication can just happen right from the get-go. I have here just a few things. I have warning signs in a courtship. If you get into a courtship relationship, and you see these things begin to happen, or hear these things, get some help before it goes too far. Some warning signs in a courtship that things aren't going well is when one or the other no longer respects the parameters given to them by their authority. Maybe the parents set a curfew at 10 o'clock, and it's always 11 o'clock before the young man leaves. Maybe the family decides that they want to show fear everywhere you go, but more and more, you just take the liberties, and they're constantly and doing things behind the authority's back. Those are some warning signs that you need to ask for some help of what to do. When you hear the words, "If you really loved me, you would," sign that something is not right in a courtship. If one or the other says, if you really loved me, you would, it's probably time to get some help. Another warning sign in courtship is when that flow of communication has stopped. You're going to have that communication in order to have a blessed marriage. When the focus turns to the physical relationship instead of laying that spiritual foundation, there will be physical things. You'll have to talk about some physical things. But when the focus turns towards physical things in the relationship, and that's what everything is centered around, it's time to get some help. Well, amen. That's just some thoughts, some meditations on a holy courtship. And I realize a holy courtship is simply a wholesome, God-honoring courtship. And I feel like I shared a lot of practical details. So I apologize to those of you that weren't in on some of the earlier ones. I shared more of the principles earlier. And this is a lot of the practical things. But I want to again just mention, so please don't get hung up on the... Just please remember the main points. Don't get hung up on the details. I feel like there is that danger in it for a young man especially. It seems like us young men tend to think that way a little more, that, you know, well, I did this, I did that, and I talk with my dad, I talk with her dad, I talk with the ministers. I want to do it right. And we just check off the boxes. And we do it right, but we miss the principle behind it. Does that make sense, everybody? I think us young men are especially prone to that. We even do that in our marriages. Well, I got my wife now. Now it's time to move on to my business. You know, I check that list off. You know, and I got my business now. Now it's time to move on to... We like to have that. But in what I shared, remember the main points. And don't get caught up in the details. But allow God to guide you in those things. I'll just go over the main points again. We talked about the delight in the Lord. Flee fornication. Stay in divine order. Don't defraud your brother or sister in any matter. Remember that you're not married until you're married. The one you're courting is not your spouse until after the wedding. And and a godly courtship always has the presence of God in it. If you remember that one, that should take you along with it. But a godly courtship always has the presence of God in it. Those were some of the main points that we shared already. Now I want to share with you the secret. My wife and I had an incredible courtship. We were reading over those letters last night, and we kind of got carried away. I was just looking for some ideas for what practical ideas, but we are so blessed. And we got to talk about, but why are we so blessed? Why was it a blessing? And I can't get into all the details of some of those things, but I'll give you a little bit of a secret. It's one of the secrets to have a blessed courtship and blessed relationship. And you say, well, not everybody's courtship. Some people struggle in their courtship. And I would agree with that. There's people that struggle in their courtship. There's people that struggle in their marriages. But if they'd have this secret, they'll still have a blessed courtship and a blessed relation, marriage. Turn to Luke chapter 9. And this is where Brother Joseph read over some of these verses this morning. In Luke chapter 9... In verse 22, you read the portion there in Matthew, I think it was, or Mark, but it's the same setting here. Jesus told the disciples, he said, the Son of Man, in verse 22, must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? We'll stop there. But in verse 23, I think, is the secret and the key to a godly relationship, to a wholesome courtship, to a holy courtship and a holy marriage. you want to come after me, Jesus said, you'll have to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the key to a good courtship. Maybe you're scratching, you say, what are you talking about, John? I thought courtship was about me finding a good wife or me finding a good husband. It's about, you know, me finding fulfillment in that area that God, you know, wants us to be fulfilled in. But the cross is the key to a holy relationship. He said, if you want to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And that taking up the cross, I don't know what you think about it, but it gets practical. Taking up the cross is simply identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in suffering and identifying with the suffering Jesus, or doing what Jesus, or responding like Jesus would in every situation. That's taking up the cross. Amen? You get into a situation and you really want to do this. But Jesus wouldn't do that. He didn't do that. You respond like Jesus. You pick up the cross and identify with the suffering Lord Jesus Christ. And you do what Jesus would do. And I've watched this, people going into courtship, and they want to do a godly courtship, and they want to do it right. And so they want to make sure, you know, maybe especially, you know, in some of our churches where we hold some of this up pretty high, they want to do it right, and especially get the reputation right too. And there's and the whole thing can actually become pretty selfish. You know, they're doing it right. They're doing hands off. They talk with the right people. But they're still not denying themselves and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And things don't flow. But this is the secret, I feel, to a godly courtship. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's taking up and identifying with our suffering Lord in whatever situation you find yourself in, and responding like he did in that situation. It's not in learning how to be romantic. You know, it's not picking up a manual and, okay, now, in our culture, men should bring a dozen roses when they, we have to, okay, the best place to go out to eat is Olive Garden. And it's not, you know, picking up the manual on how to be the most romantic person. The secret is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will learn how to be romantic. I think that's we will learn how to, and it's good to learn some of those things as young men. You know, ladies tend to be more romantic than us, and but that's not the secret. It's not how nice the vehicle is that you drive around in, or where your dates are, or the kind of food you eat on your dates, or how good the perfume smells and the candles are, and it's not that. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the secret to a good godly courtship. If you respond like Jesus in every situation and deny yourself, and God lead you towards marriage, you will experience a holy, God-honoring, God-exalting courtship. Amen? And I can't give you all the details of what that will mean for you. I don't know what God has in mind for you. Some of those practical things, what that's going to mean for you practically, I can't give you those details. But God knows those things. God knows the journey he has you on. But I can guarantee you, if you respond like Jesus, and you take up the cross, and deny yourself, and lose your life for the kingdom, instead of trying to save it, and trying to make my marriage my courtship where everybody looks on, instead of, you know, if you seek to lose your life for the sake of the kingdom, instead of trying to save it, you have found one of the greatest keys to a godly courtship and a godly marriage. Amen? Thank you all for your attention. I hope it wasn't too rambling here this morning. I You're like a lot of here's and there's, but could you get the heart of God in it, though? God loves romance. God loves marriages. And God desires that they be holy and awesome in a good sense of the word. And the devil knows that, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll make you think that taking up the cross is the last thing you want to do in a romantic relationship. But I want to just leave that with you, that it's the key to a good relationship. And meditate on that and think on that for your life. And you'll find out that what I'm saying is true. Amen. God bless you.